This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it's the Evening Edition and I'm Caroline Oh. Now, this year alone, we've seen a number of catastrophic fire tragedies. In February, we read in horror about the incident in Subang Jaya, where a couple and their two children were killed. And that was followed by the incident in Kepong, which claimed the lives of two children and their grandmother. Now, both incidents, according to experts, were similar in nature. And authorities confirmed later that the first incident was due to a faulty power supply unit. Now, since then, there's been a lot of talk about Malaysians being a little too lax when it comes to fire safety. Many of us are without a fire extinguisher, a smoke alarm detector, or even keys to the grills in our houses to let ourselves out in an emergency. So in an effort to better educate ourselves about fire safety, Uma Pagan Ambiki Pagan, together with weekend host Hanif Baharuddin, spoke with the City Fire and Rescue Department not too long ago. Now, they were joined by Kirudin Bin Draman, the department's Director General, and Samsul Marif Saibani, his Chief Operating Officer. And the conversation kicked off with what the public's level of awareness is when it comes to fire safety.
Honestly, if I, for example, I did a lot of community engagements, only 5% of our people aware that the important for them to be more fire cautious. Even we're talking about 3P, precaution, prevention and protections. But end of the day, after finish the talk, they just go back, they do nothing. But we said, you must have fire extinguisher at home. It's basic firefighting equipment because you are the one. The first line of defense is you. Anything happen to your property, your safety, is you, not the fire service. But after a few times, they never thought. And generally, when you go to a Malaysian house, very difficult to see they're having fire extinguisher at home. Why? Because of mentality. Because they always said, it won't happen to me. That's why I said, I've been in the service almost 28 years. It's my dream that one night I dream, God tell me that you are safe. No. As long as you're a human being, you tend to have negligence, then you will be the victim. Mm-hmm. So fire is unexpected gas. So how you prepare yourself? For example, owing a fire extinguisher, having this even a smoke detectors to save yourself, give alarm to you, that's the most important thing. Then majority, I can say that 90%, 9 to 95%, people are not aware of their safety and don't bother about it. They always said, oh, the government is there, bomba is there. This is always the mentality that for me is quite dangerous. Because you look at in the Western, Australia, New Zealand, they are very fire cautious. Why? Because they know that already. That's why in our education system, instilling among themselves the importance of having fire extinguishers and the first responder is you, it's not happening. So we have a very tough time. Alhamdulillah, for the last 6 years in Kuala Lumpur, we managed to apply the system where that I've been taught in Australia and also in Japan about the public education. It show result. But it takes time. It doesn't happen fortnight. I mean, it doesn't happen. You say today, it happened today, but through a process. So we are penetrating the kindergartens, secondary school. Now we have a program with UPM, Safe Kid, very good program. We have cadet bomba in secondary school. Now we go to brigade bomba in university, and we go to ERT team. And in Kuala Lumpur now, we're introducing a bomba community. We have bomba skorela. We have our, what they call is ERT, emergency response team for the bloodings. They are the one responding. And through this engagement, they start expanding themselves. And you can compare that the last 6 years, the number of property involved in fire that we managed to save, almost 10.5 billion. That's mean 95.47% compared to losses only 4.53%. So only small amount for the last 6 years. And the number of death reduced already. So this is the good message. That's why what we try to do, whatever the project that we did in Kuala Lumpur, community engagement, we want to expand it to others through public engagement. This is what we're doing now, public engagement, community engagement, how we approach the public through different perspective. So now it shows result. Then I've been invited by the Thai, para Thai. I was appointed as an advisor to them. How they look at the system, their, what you did in Kuala Lumpur, become a benchmark. And they but that's why I said we try to impose this type of program to be expanded to other states in Malaysia.
Okay. Samson, let's talk about the life of a fireman itself. Like, can you maybe walk us through what your daily routine is like?
So, macam mana, pagi-pagi masuk station buat apa?
Ya, yeah, rutin harian tu lah.
Okay, kalau untuk rutin harian sebagai seorang pegawai bomba, sebab kita ada 3 shift, A, B, C. Contohnya hari ini kalau pasukan A, dia akan masuk mulai jam 8 pagi dan akan habis duty pada 8 malam nanti. Jadi apabila masuk, kita akan buat baris, cek baris, panggil nama, kehadiran. Dan selepas itu akan membuat pemeriksaan jentera. Jentera yang bersedia pada hari itu, maksudnya cukup peralatan dan cukup bersedia untuk melakukan sesuatu bantuan kecemasan ataupun penyelamatan. Okay. Dan diikuti dengan jadual tugas harian. Kita memang ada jadual. Sekiranya tidak melakukan operasi penyelamatan ataupun bantuan, maksudnya di dalam balai itu, mereka akan mengikut jadual yang telah ditetapkan daripada pagi sampailah ke petang. That's why sampai petang kadang pukul 4, pukul 5 kita nampak bomba bermain sepak takraw, main badminton atau pemain bola tampar. Sebab itu adalah untuk, apa kata orang, untuk nak maintain dia punya kecergasan. Sebab itu memang dah ada jadual dia. Sehinggalah selesai pada waktu malam pukul 8 untuk keluar bertugas, maksudnya ada baris lagi sekali, dan yang nak masuk pukul 8 tu pun baris juga. So perjalanan untuk serah tugas, terima dan serah tugas lah kepada pasukan berikutnya.
Dan saya difahamkan setiap stesen tu ada pelbagai jenis squad kan, squad pasukan yang mungkin perlu berhadapan dengan pelbagai jenis ancaman
kecemasan
yang yes, pelbagai jenis. Jadi adakah semua squad atau semua pasukan berada di dalam satu stesen atau macam mana?
Kalau di Kuala Lumpur kita ada 18 balai bomba, tetapi tertumpunya adalah di balai bomba Hang Tuah, iaitu balai bomba pusat. Di situ ada beberapa unit unit khas, sebab kita ada 6 unit khas, antaranya adalah Smart Team, HRRT, High Risk Team, PPDA, lepas tu Hazmat, dan ada beberapa termasuklah apa ni EMRS. Jadi macam EMRS kita ada 14 apa ni stesen yang mempunyai EMRS daripada 18. So yang lain-lain tu memang di balai memang siap sedia untuk memberi bantuan lah pada bila-bila masa. Sentiasa bersiap sedia setiap masa.
Okay, ERMS is
Emergency Response Service.
PDPA tadi?
PPDA adalah pasukan penyelamat di air. Maksudnya kalau scuba lah, kalau misalnya ada mangsa lemas ataupun Kuala Lumpur ni biasa banjir kilat kan, tetapi akan diperlukan juga unit PPDA penyelamatan di air itu untuk memberi bantuan. Tetapi kalau hujung tahun biasanya bencana di Pahang, Terengganu, Kelantan, so unit kita akan digerakkan ke sebelah pantai timur untuk memberi bantuan lah.
Okay, jadi berdasarkan apa yang Cik Samsul cakap tu, nampaknya seolah-olah kerja sebagai seorang pegawai ahli bomba ni bukan hanya bermain api sajalah kan.
Tidak.
It goes beyond that. So dari segi ratio lah, mungkin daripada kes yang Cik Samsul perlu hadapi, berapa banyak kes yang lebih bersifat kebakaran dan berapa banyak kes yang lebih bersifat benda bukan kebakaran?
Dia lebih kurang sama, seimbang. Sebab di Kuala Lumpur ni kan, kita bencana kebakaran besar tu kurang. Contohnya kebakaran api hutan memang kurang, tetapi kebakaran fire apa ni structure bangunan di Kuala Lumpur ni memang tinggi lah. Dan penyelamatan juga banyak di Kuala Lumpur, contohnya menyelamat mangsa tersekat dalam lift kan, ataupun macam-macam pecahan lah, dia banyak pecahan dia. Jadi dia nampak ketara dan seimbang lah di Kuala Lumpur berbanding negeri lain. Mungkin mana yang negeri itu besar akan melibatkan kebakaran hutan yang lebih banyak lah. Tetapi walau bagaimanapun di Kuala Lumpur ni dengan apa, sistem pengangkutan awam yang begitu complicated, ada MRT, ada LRT, ada dan macam-macam, sebab ada kereta api dalam bawah tanah, atas tanah dan atas tiang, tidak sama dengan negeri lain. Jadi ianya begitu complicated, dan kita selalu membuat latihan drill lah, fire drill ataupun drill menyelamat, contohnya kereta api, LRT dan sebagainya, termasuk komuter sekali.
And also car accident pun dekat KL banyak.
Yes, accident memang banyak. Kalau yang tidak ada accident bila hari perayaan lah. Sebab mostly masa perayaan tu Kuala Lumpur lengang, kosong macam tu kan. Tetapi di jalan-jalan perbandaran memang masih banyak lagi apa ni kemalangan lah. Dan bila berlaku kemalangan, kita akan biasanya hantar sekurang-kurangnya 3 fire truck untuk ke lokasi tempat kejadian bersama dengan EMRS, Emergency Response Service kita, yang pasukan ambulans kita. Sebab dalam SOP, setiap satu jentera yang keluar respon ke tempat kejadian, kita akan hantar sama juga sign dengan pasukan ambulans kita untuk memberi bantuan.
We're going to be back in this conversation in just a little bit. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Caroline Oh, and today we're talking about all things fire and rescue with reps from the City Fire and Rescue Department, Khairuddin bin Draman, the department's Director General, and Samsul Ma'arif Saibani, his Chief Operating Officer. They join Uma and weekend host Hanif Baharuddin in a conversation they had not too long ago about the increasing need for fire safety awareness. Picking up from where we left off, Uma asks Encik Khairuddin just how long it takes for someone to train to become a fireman.
Okay, basically we have three entry levels. Of course, those are finishing complete SPM diploma and a degree. So those with SPM, they become firemen, lower ranks. Then second level is having diploma. Then now, of course, our diploma, we are quite choosy. We are civil engineer, civil diploma in civil engineering, mechanical. Those are the diploma that we prefer. They become fire officers. They become penolong penguasa. It's assistant superintendent. Then with degree, they become the direct entry level 3. That mean they come at a level of, we call it middle management. But of course,
but you're also looking for engineers.
Yes, most are some are architects, are chemical engineer. But the training, that basic training for the all fire officers, basic, they must go through 4.5 months. Some are all the same, basic. Only after that, firemen at 4.5 months, they have two BA training and also rescue training. Then after that, they will posted to the fire station. But for the senior officers, degree holder and a diploma, they have to undergo a series of officership course. Only after maybe 9 months, only then be posted to state. At the same time, in 3 years, they have to undergo a lot of courses to make sure that the competency level is there. Only then be confirmed, only then posted to at the particular state. To develop a fireman itself, 3 years is not enough. Actually, they have to require on-hand training. They have to go expose themselves. Now, with our job rotations, we rotate them. For example, these 3 years, you are in operational division. Maybe next 3 years, you're in fire prevention, more on fire engineering. Maybe another, when you're promoted, you might be sent to fire forensic divisions. After that, when you are promoted again, you might go to training division. So we'll be a complete circle. So those having 15 to 20 years experience, they are more qualified to consider be a good officer.
And of course, as a fireman, the profession demands that there's a brotherhood, right? Because yes, Everything is about teamwork.
Yes.
And it feels like you cannot do this job solo.
Yes.
So tell me about the teamwork and the brotherhood in the fire department.
That's why in trainings, when you look at how the first issues, for example, when we start going undergoing training, we try to instill among the officers, you must have a comradeship. That means you have to work together. That's why I said, if one in a group, for example, 7 of them, one make mistake, the whole group will be punished. So they start reminding each other, so we don't make mistake. We try our best, make sure that we follow the discipline. So through that training, for the 4.5 months, they start building the trust among them. And it's very important that when they go outside, because when you're holding the nozzles, not only one you're using the nozzle, but you have to depend on the pump operator. And also communications. We communicate giving. But in a normal situation, you can shout. But in a big, a large area, you depend on your communication or signage. If you are not given right signage or message to others, they cannot help you. So that's why that through training, regular training, even when they completed their basic training in fire station, they still have to go under training. That's why in our schedules, every day in our JTH, Jadual Tugas Harian, they are required to attend what they call repressure course. We call it LDB, latihan dalam balai. In 5 sessions, they have to do that. And what we did in Kuala Lumpur to enhance it, one, train, untrain, retrain, that is a process happening. Even, for example, I'm now already 28 years service. I don't have to undergo any more training. No. We try to eliminate that type of thinking among the officers. The moment you are fire officers, because technology change, construction change, things change, so it become a hazard to our country. So how we prepare ourselves to them with the new construction? Now, for example, MRT, tunneling. Because I think last 20 years, 10 years, we have done, ever imagine that there be a tunnel underground across our Kuala Lumpur city.
Smart tunnel.
All these new elements. So how we prepare ourselves? So now with new technology coming in, new construction material, design of buildings. Last time, small shop houses. Now, like Pavilion, Mid-Valley City. So what? So now new coming in with this TRX City.
Correct.
1 NDB. One basement and they have 39 buildings on top of it. Then the worst, now you see like KL Central. All buildings are under elevated platform. It's a 7-story, you know. Nothing under there, then there's a building there. So that type of construction pose another risk and hazard to our men. So if we not prepare ourselves, keep up with the technology, then we might be in trouble.
So Encik Aridin, tell me about planning for new technology, because I'm assuming as technology improves in the construction of buildings and even homes, fire safety is going to be much better. With the materials people use, it's fire resistant. There are more things like sprinkler systems and fire suppression in buildings. Is that something that you're seeing a lot of in Malaysia? Because I hear about it overseas a lot. But what's the situation like in Malaysia?
Because that's why when I'm talking about buildings, when you put now in Kuala Lumpur, we are applying 4 E's. Engineering, education, enforcement, and emergency response. So the first issue is that I always set a message clear to the public that the moment you submit your plan, construction, proposed building, that the firefighting start. Because as experienced fire officers, we have a committee, operational side, prevention, enforcement, we sit together. Forensic, we sit together. When we study the plan, we give our views. Oh, this building must be. You follow a uniform building bylaw. We call it prescriptive law. That how the building should be designed. For this size, this is the system. So after that, what happens that when they issue CCC, when the building completed, then our department will come in with FC, fire certificate. Fire certificate is renewal every year. And when we visit the building, before we issue a letter of recommendations, we'll make sure that the system in order. FC will be signed by the state director. It's myself, I will sign the FC. Then when we issue FC to that building, we find that we certify the building is safe for occupations. Then anything, if there's a fire outbreak, the fire will be suppressed by the system because we have to maintain the system in work order. Just to share you the experience, what we did when our former Prime Minister said, KLCC, Twin Tower. And when you look at our prescriptive law, cannot, sir, we cannot. But he said, I want it. So we have to go for performance-based approach. Sounds like a KLIA. He said, I want to build this one. So cannot. Said, that size, impossible. But he insisted, we have to build. So we do performance-based. So how technology, code of practice, all standard technology science, we incorporated to build. For example, like KLCC, the material used is all metal. Non-combustible carpet fire treated with special chemical. You throw the what they call fuel, not easily catch fire. Then they have ray sensor. Any naked fire, it will detect it, give alarm. And even you have to go that building, you have to go through metal detector. You cannot bring explosive. You cannot gun whatever. They try to minimize the impact. That's how you control. So every corner they got CCTV. Any acting that usually they detect and minimize the probability of fire happen for that buildings.
Tapi kat rumah, it still feels like many Malaysians don't have a smoke detectors pun. We don't see it as something necessary. Meanwhile, I remember when I was living overseas, oh, selalu ada check, battery check, smoke detector check. It was such an important thing. Is that something you're pushing for?
Yes. Under the Uniform Building by law, residential, private residential is and are no requirements. It's not mandatory. Now, we are fighting on that ground because, for example, look at two cases that happened, that day one family got trapped. When we said, oh, you cannot put grill. One said, oh, grill is very important because it protects our family from the robbery. They said, when fire happened, it doesn't take, it take everything. Robber, they go to your house, they take money, they take your valuable, they run away. But fire, they took everything. Not only your property, but your life. So, what is the alternative? So, we encourage them to install smoke detector. But certain, when we start installing of smoke detector, don't reach out, how do we say? But come back to people mentality. Normally, Malaysian, television set, they can buy. They can buy 1 million house. 1 million, the building, the house, cost 1 million. They can buy. But buying a smoke detector, they cost only 85 ringgit. Smoke detector in the rooms. You've got the four rooms. For only 85 ringgit times four, only not come to 500. Very expensive. But when they go to dinner in a restaurant, they makan, they eat, they're okay. But why? Because back to mentality. Our understanding about the nature of fire safety, we are not very conscious. Anything, bombada. Don't always look, whatever, bombada. Bomba cannot be there all the time. So it's you determine. So that first line of defense is you. Who make decision on your safety, your family safety, is you. So this is something that we find it's not easy. But inshallah, through what they call structured approach, what I see in Kuala Lumpur for the last 6 years, I was in Kuala Lumpur, I observed it, people start realizing it.
Some good advice there about installing smoke detectors in your home. Now, something for all of us to think about as we head for the news. More to come right here in the Evening Edition. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Good evening, it's Evening Edition and I'm Caroline Oh. Now, how many of you have installed a smoke detector in your home or have had your kitchens fixed with a fire extinguisher in case a fire does break out? Well, according to our fire and rescue department, not many of us have taken these precautionary measures when it comes to fire safety, which is part of the reason why we have them on the show this evening. I'm talking about the City Fire and Rescue Department. They're talking with Uma and weekend host Hanif Baharuddin. And with us are Director General Kiruddin Bin Rahman and Chief Operating Officer Samsul Ma'ruf Saibani. And here they continue the discussion by sharing their scariest experiences by far in their career.
Bagi bomba, perasaan yang takut atau menyelamat tu kita dah tak ada takut dah. Tetapi bagi orang awam di luar sana memang satu, kalau menyelamat tu mungkin ngeri. Contohnya satu kemalangan yang pernah berlaku di bulatan Kampung Pandan lah. Ya, anggota saya mengangkat mayat yang dalam kereta Porsche tu, 5 orang terbakar bila dia melanggar dinding dan terbakar. So 5-5 tu mati dalam kereta. Apabila bomba sampai ke situ, kita mengangkat mayat yang dah terbakar tu seperti kambing barbecue tu je. Dia dah rentung dan angkat, dah jadi kecil dah. Orang tu mengikut 2 lelaki, 3 wanita. So jantina tu kita tak dapat pastikan pada awalnya, tetapi apabila dihantar ke hospital, pihak hospital lah yang telah mengenal pasti mengikut waris-waris dan juga siapa yang buat report kehilangan waris. Dan di situ telah dikenal pasti lelaki ataupun wanita. Tetapi kita mengangkat mayat yang telah terbakar itu seperti biasa je. Kita tidak ada perasaan yang risau atau macam. Begitu juga dengan kemalangan. Apabila suatu kemalangan yang pernah berlaku di jalan Syed Putra, Federal Highway itu, mayat tu hancur berkecai. Tapi kami datang kutip mayat tu, kutip macam tu, masukkan dalam beg plastik hitam. Kita tak rasa apa-apa because kita telah diajar, telah ditrain supaya jangan, pertama kita jangan menghina lah, menghina kepada mangsa tu. Itu niat kita datang untuk membantu ataupun menolong. Bukan kita melihat tak kira apa bangsa pun, kita tidak akan menghina mangsa tersebut, pertama. Yang kedua, kita niat datang tu untuk menyelamatkan ataupun membantu mangsa daripada tempat kejadian. Jadi memang jiwa ataupun hasrat kita yang murni itu, mungkin kita tidak ada perasaan yang ngeri ataupun takut. Tapi bagi orang yang melihat, memang itu perasaan ngeri. Bayangkan kalau satu satu jasad tiba-tiba dah terbujur dan hancur, just kutip tangan, kutip kaki, kutip usus kan misalnya, masuk dalam plastik bag. Tapi kita tidak pun, bila balik itu memang adalah ada petua-petua, maksudnya kita jangan balik atau orang tu mesti cuci tangan, cuci kaki, dan pakaian tu harus dibasuh lah, pakaian yang kita pakai sewaktu operasi, dan kita tidak terus bawa masuk ke dalam rumah. Biasanya kita basuh pakaian tu di balai lah ataupun fire station, supaya kata orang tu is body, body tu tidak bawa balik ke rumah. Itu
maknanya tak boleh terlalu emosional lah.
Yes.
Bagaimana pula kalau berhadapan dengan orang kata mangsa-mangsa yang masih lagi hidup kan, diorang, kalau diorang terlalu emosional, macam mana pula korang kena deal?
So kita kena beri tenangkan lah mangsa. Misalnya mangsa yang tersepit, memang dia meraung-raung minta bantuan, tapi kita dengan berhati-hati. Misalnya kalau dia tersepit dalam kenderaan yang kemalangan tadi, terbalik ya, misalnya itu terlalu lagi dahsyat lah. So kita akan buat balancing kereta supaya jangan bergerak, dan kita akan potong kenderaan untuk mengeluarkan mangsa tersebut. Jadi memang kadang bila kita tarik dan satu mangsa yang dah di bangsa tu, jambatan runtuh, terpaksa dipotong. Itu panggil doktor lah, sebab memang dah tak boleh nak diselamatkan, kaki tu dah tersepit, kita nak tarik mangsa tu memang terpaksa potong kaki. Nah, itu dengan doktor lah, medik yang akan yang berada di situ.
Sebab the process is very simple lah. Normally, of course, when we select any civilian to enter the fire service, we have series of tests. Only those pass. Of course, after they complete the basic firemanship, then they have to go for a second. If they want to join a special task, special group, unit, team, they have to be selected. For example, like just to show, share how you select a storm team, special tactical operation rescue team. Because a lot of firemen want to join because they're the elite team.
Yes.
But they have to go a very stringent process. For example, they have to be in the mortuary, stay there for 1 hour or 2 nights, eat there with the dead body. So if they can cope up, that means they are strong enough. Because sometimes, normally, when they look at the smell of the dead corpses, they start vomiting. Yeah. They cannot control them. Sometimes when they look at it, they start emotional, crying. Sometimes some of firemen, they just then we have to please move. Then they start shock for a while. So through training, through the experience, 10 years experience, 20 years experience, for them to absorb that experience, mean one year, 2 years, they become better. So they start sharing that knowledge, and through that process, not easy. Because sometimes I still remember myself first time when I was a fire chief in Cebu, fire station officer, a young age, at age of 24. Then we attend a fire. When that night, when the fire put out already, it's quite dark already. Then somebody report to me that Tuan, we are missing 2 person. I said, what? We have 2 missing. Then I go around inside the debris. Then suddenly I meet these 2 body, you know, near the container. Already burned to death. Then I remove that one, then call my officers. Kita masuk dalam, we put in a plastic bag. But that morning, 5 o'clock, I went back to my station. I want to wash myself. But when I was to wash myself, I look at, I see that the body the is beside me.
Shadow.
The shadow, the thing, I still playing in my mind. At least for 3 days. 3-4 days. Then I call my mother, my late mother. Said, what? She asked me to read this one, read doa, read this one. Try to think others. After 3-4 days, then it goes. After that, alhamdulillah, we manage ourselves. So when you have this one, this is the
betul.
The action you must do. Try to read something. Even as a Muslim, we do small prayer. Try to forget the thing. Then do. So that's why that when we are facing, people running away from. Sometimes people, but vomit, whatever, we go in. Even I think last few days, there are people hanging, so die, so hanging.
Yes.
Then the dead, the body already black already, got smell already, because the neighbor smell. Then we have been called by the police to remove the hanged bodies. We go in, but you see the smell, the what you call this?
Ulat, udah keluar.
What you call this? How do you say the ulat? they are there already lah. You just 3 days, 4 days already, the dead body hanging. You just imagine. So the smell, because human body not like animals. Human body the smell. I cannot imagine. If you see there 3-4 days, then you realize what compared to animals. Even dog that one still you can cope up, but human cannot lah. Something different.
Yes. Because last time I pun pernah satu pengalaman menyelamatkan orang yang itulah dia mungkin di tengah satu Cina makan dan dia jatuh. Maybe dia ada heart attack kan. So stroke jatuh dah 3-4 hari macam tu. Jiran telefon bomba minta bantuan lah, dan polis pun ada situ. Bila kita pecah masuk pintu, masuk memang darah pun dah jadi hitam, dah keluar ke pintu. Dan bomba masuk tu memang bau dia amat dahsyat lah. Tetapi kita ada juga petua macam mana nak hilangkan supaya bau tu jangan sentiasa terasa je. Jadi first masuk je kita sedut sekali, sedut bau tu supaya dia melekat terus di dalam hidung, dan kita buat kerja. So dia punya smile tu dah biasa lah. Tetapi kalau kita sedut embus, so dia every time kita akan berbau. Tapi memang bau dia memang, sebab body tu is China, sepatutnya dia kulit cerah, tetapi kulit tu dia dah jadi gelap, legam, dah hitam. Kita tak sangka yang itu adalah Cina, tapi bila kita tengok IC dalam poket dia punya seluar tu ada IC wallet dia, baru kita faham yang itu adalah Cina. Kita ingat maybe Bangladesh ataupun Indian yang mangsa tu. Tu di flat apa ni, Sri Sarawak lah, di Pudu saja dekat. Tapi yang 2-3 hari sudah, yang Korean tu itu bunuh diri dalam bilik air tu pun macam tu juga. Sampai hinggakan anggota bomba kita yang masuk ke dalam rumah untuk nyalakan terpaksa gunakan BA ataupun breathing apparatus supaya tidak terasa berbau sangat, dan pernafasan kita hanyalah menggunakan bantuan alat pernafasan lah. Sebab memang bau dia memang dahsyat lah. Kalau orang luar memang tak sanggup nak mengangkat ataupun menyelamatkan mangsa tersebut. Tetapi bomba terpaksa juga buat laksanakan kerja tu untuk di remove from their house untuk dihantar ke hospital.
More on fire safety in just a bit, right here in the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Caroline Oh. Uma and weekend host Hanif Baharuddin are speaking about fire safety this evening with our guests, Director General Khairuddin Bin Rahman and Samsul Ma'arif Saibani, his Chief Operating Officer. They're both from the City Fire and Rescue Department. Now we're jumping back into this final part of their conversation, with Uma asking if there is a shortage of firemen here in the country.
Okay, you look at when it comes to shortage, even now the government start reducing the public servants, and with the cost, because employing a fireman is not only a burden to the, because the moment you appoint a fire officers, the government have to settle his problem from the moment that until he's retired. So what the government do now, and with our new approach in Kuala Lumpur and also other state applying it, the government allowing us not if the problem is shortage of firemen, they top up our shortage with bomba sukarela. They allowed us to pump up bomba sukarela. So any area that we think that they need the high time for them to have fire stations, we pump up bomba sukarela. We give equipment, we train them, they become. At certain places in Sabah, Sarawak, yang quite remote, we appoint bomba bantuan. For example, like in KK town itself, we have, for example, 120 fire officers, firemen at one time. So that full time firemen, what happened is that the 80 of them will be full time, 40 will be auxiliary firemen, we call bomba bantuan. They are only pay allowances, they not pay salary. If they work, but they must be a local surround here. Any emergency, we can get them, but we train them, we certify them, they become, we call bomba bantuan. The second approach, that bomba community is a bomba where we train them, we give equipment to them. Bomba community. For example, like if you stay in this condominium, we train you as bomba community. You look after your broodings. Any emergency, you should respond.
Oh, macam fire marshal.
Yes, that's what it is. Then the fourth one is ERT, emergency response team. So this is very important. There are ERT team. For example, like when I came here 2011, we have only 37 team. Now it's 327 team. Now it's keep growing. People start coming, then train them, and we certify them. We have our supportive training center. We train them. At the time, they become the first responder at a particular. And this knowledge, this experience, not only meant for them in their particular building, but when they go back homes, they become, because one cases in Bukit Jalil, that ERT members, off duty, he just came back from hot, night shift. When he arrived at that particular apartment, one fire break out in the kitchen of somebody. He suddenly took the hose reel, break the glass, or the break glass, give alarm to others. He entered the building, only confined to that particular kitchen only. You just imagine, if he's not trained, what happened? Every one of us should be a fireman in our SERP. Because we have to train our SERP how to use basic firefighting equipment, like hose reel. And most building in Malaysia, the new buildings, they have firefighting equipment. And what I can say that every building that installed with firefighting equipment is just like a fire station by itself. You just pull the nozzle, the hoses, open the tap, they got spray. No need for you to start the engine because the pump, the jockey pump, duty pump is there already. But make sure that the thing in order. That's why FC, CCC is very important, whereby we do a weekly check, monthly check, to make sure the system that installed in the building should be maintained and work in working order condition all the time, every time, anytime. That's for sure. Inshallah, we can do that.
What is the optimum response time in KL?
Okay, in KL, we are been asked to maintain below 10-minute response time for any location, because we have 18 stations in Kuala Lumpur. So based on what they call the cover area, we call our fire ground and norm, we are required to respond to any fire within 10 minutes. Alhamdulillah, for the last year record, 55% of structural fire, we managed to arrive below that 8.5 minutes. Below 10 minutes response, 85%. Other than that, delay or because of traffic jam, but we managed to maintain. But national average is 14.5, national level, national norm. But in Kuala Lumpur, we are required to respond below 10 minutes. So what we did for the last two year study, 2014, 15, and 16, coming to 2000 last year, what we did that we come into a conclusion that we need to set up extra fire posts. What we did now in KL Central, we have one fire post in Masjid India, and also one is in Pasar Seni, Jalan Bangkok there. We put our station. So at 8 o'clock, before 8, our station will be there. But fire engine, fireman will be there. Any emergency around the area, they will respond. Because if you look if from Hang Tuah or other station, we cannot achieve that 10 minutes. So now we set up a fire post.
Well, because traffic in KL is crazy.
Yes.
During festive season, what we did in Kuala Lumpur is that we patrolling. We patrol. That means we don't keep our fire engine in the station. Now, alhamdulillah, our communication is quite good. Our fire engine is moving around. And sometimes night time, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, most people are asleep. They're not aware that fire engine moving around. So any emergency call, we just respond. So for the 2 years that we did, that's why I said when I took the statistic, 10.5 billion we saved and only 0.499 million loss in fire due to what? The action taken. So only 4.53% property loss, 95.47 we saved. So that's the result after the last 6 years, how we formulate this approach help us to reduce the losses in fire.
Is it true that I heard somewhere that kalau orang bagi donation, the fire brigade can go for birthday parties for kanak-kanak, betul ke?
No. Actually, what we do, for example, a lot five station in Kuala Lumpur, whereby we allowed that those children wish to celebrate their birthday party in particular fire stations. Actually, we don't ask money from them. What we did is that we have a package program. For first half an hour, when they bring the children there, we give our talks. Learn not to burn, good and bad fire, stop, drop and roll, get out and stay out, and how to make a call.
Oh, nice.
That is a program they did. For the half an hour, the children, we give them the fireman jacket, fireman, trousers. They stay there, they listen to us. After that, only we allow them to have celebrate their birthday. In particular, for example, like Keramat, Fire Station, Hatamas, Seputih, Ceras, we allow that to the Bukit Jalil. So after that, they celebrate, then have joyride in the procession. Then Kereta Bomba put a siren and everything. So after the joyride, they can do their own. They spray water, hosing the nozzle, take picture, become a good memory for them.
Encik Herodin, it's not just for children. I'm telling you, I want to celebrate my birthday at the fire station.
So, I mean, communicate with welcome. Our officers. And we because normally, of course, some parents, they feel appreciated. They give some token to the station. And we allow that amount of token they given go to the club. So, that is how they buy puppet or this one. Go back to the community bank. Because what I learned in Australia, very simple. Every Saturday, we go out at the garden, park. Then we group we show the puppet. We ask the children, who want this one? Oh, I want one. I said, okay, tomorrow, next week, bring your parents, bring your mother, go to the same place. Today, next week, at this hours, we have question. But we distribute the pamphlet. Okay, this you read this one. If you answer correct, we give you that one. Too much yes. The learning process is there. Let them compete. I'm a positive way compete. So this is what it is. Then now this is the process that I'm introducing in Kuala Lumpur. Then of course I have to get people collaborate. Now we have a SAFE Kid program with UPM. But being trained as a children motivator in Japan for the last 6 months, I know already. Because they show that the result out of it, children that 10 years ago, they become our small ambassador. They talk better about fire safety compared to Bomba. You know? So the impact will be different. So not say Bomba lepas tangan, no. We collaborate each other. We serve, we lead, and we inspire. That's our process.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, I have to tell you, right after that interview, Uma suggested that the Evening Edition team actually plan a kids' party at the fire station for his birthday. We were ignoring him for now, but would encourage parents to celebrate your kids' birthdays at these fire stations. Encik Kirudin mentioned earlier, Hartamas, Keramat, Bukit Jalil, Ceras and Seputih. But we also understand that fire stations at Putrajaya, Cyberjaya and TTDI are very popular as well. So just drop by your local fire station and ask if they offer for birthday party packages. I hope you enjoyed this show as much as Uma and Hanif obviously did. A big thank you to Director General Kirudin Bin Rahman and Samsul Ma'ruf Saibani, the Chief Operating Officer from the City Fire and Rescue Department, for taking the time to have a chat with us. The team that make up the country's fire safety squad are indeed true heroes for carrying out their task with such bravery. From everyone here at the station, a very big thank you to you. As always, if you've missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast on our BFM app, which you can get either via the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Just look for the title Firemen, Unsung Heroes. I'm Caroline Oh. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.